I'm Liz Chambers. The U.S. war machine, that's the topic of this month's special report. Most Americans are not aware that soon the primary export of our national economy won't be cars or food or microwaves. Instead, we'll be exporting death.
I got numerous individuals on the road. You want me to take those out?
Take them out.
10 seconds.
Roger.
Impact.
Oh, dude.
Chances are good that some of your friends and neighbors work for U.S. companies that serve the military sector. They may make parts for high-tech aircraft or precision-guided bombs. They may assemble bullets or act as privatized soldiers protecting corporate interests. It's not a trend that the Pentagon tries to hide.
I'll argue we're conducting a transaction with the outside world. We're exporting security to those who prefer to outsource that function. We have to understand that as a product. We have to understand how the market changes. We have to understand how that product is perceived.
What forces have warped our peacetime economy into an assembly line for the technology of war? Some in Washington tell us we are merely responding to radical forces outside of our control.
By fighting the terrorists in Iraq, we are confronting a direct threat to the American people, and we will accept nothing less than complete victory.
The disaster in Iraq, however, has largely discredited those views, even among conservatives.
What they want, Chris, is a wider war, especially in the Middle East. They want the United States to fight Israel's war against Hezbollah, Syria, but especially Iran. And the Israelis want us to fight Iran as well. But it's not in the interest of the United States. None of those countries, even Hezbollah and Hamas, have not attacked the United States of America.
Don't confuse discrediting militarism with dismantling it, however. Voices from the radical right, along with religious extremists, continue to believe that the slaughter of non-believers will lead to a new utopia in the Middle East.
August 22nd could be the day that agnostics get down on one knee and start to pray, "Sweet Jesus, are you coming today?"
When it's all finished, God says, "I'm going to destroy them all, and I will bring glory to myself."
As they divide the land of Israel, Joel 3, verse 2. Yes, Armageddon's coming, Revelation 16, 16, but I repeat, it's not going to be the end of the world. Billions are going to be standing there to meet Christ after the conflict has ended. And then they'll beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks.
How did we get here, to the brink of perpetual war? America's long slide into militarism didn't happen overnight.
We shall send you, in ever-increasing numbers, ships, planes, tanks, guns. That is our purpose and our pledge.
Several presidents since FDR have created elaborate myths to sell the continued expansion of our military power. For example, a new book by Gar Alperovitz proves that the dropping of the atomic bombs on Japan was not, as is commonly believed, a military necessity. Newly disclosed documents show that the Japanese offered to surrender unconditionally before the U.S. dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. In fact, General Dwight Eisenhower pleaded with Truman not to use the bomb. But Truman and his campaign handlers felt that using the bomb would give them leverage with the Russians. Other presidents of both parties continued this deadly myth-making. Lyndon B. Johnson staged the Gulf of Tonkin incident to escalate the Vietnam War. Ronald Reagan exaggerated communist threats and triggered billions in new Pentagon spending. And of course, the Bush-Cheney deception landed us in the current quagmire in Iraq.
While the media remains mesmerized by the fighting in Israel and Lebanon, more than 100 people a day are being killed in Iraq. 6,000 have died in the last 2 months, and conditions getting worse all the time.
Over the past three decades, the U.S. military's focus has changed. Instead of a defensive role, we now often strike the first blow.
If you join the military now, you are not defending the United States of America. You are helping certain policymakers pursue an imperial agenda.
Many experienced military leaders have questioned America's new role as international bully. Too often, they get rewarded for their integrity with ridicule or demotion. At the root of our new shoot-first, negotiate-later approach to foreign policy is corporatism. Two of the main architects of the Iraq invasion, Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney, consistently apply their experience as CEOs of large corporations to U.S. politics. That translates into ruthless destruction of anyone seen as a competitor, along with privatization of all aspects of the military, including the troops.
What's a little surprising is that the Army Corps doesn't rely on soldiers for protection. They've outsourced the job. The security company the Army Corps hired is not even American. The company, Aranus, was founded by ex-members of British Special Forces and hires an assortment of ex-soldiers and retired policemen from South Africa, America, England, and Russia.
The Government Accounting Office reports that there are now 48,000 private soldiers in Iraq, provided by 181 private companies. Better paid than regular military personnel, most can walk away from Iraq without the psychological burdens of frontline volunteers.
You ever see that American Soldier video game, the one that the Army recruiters are pushing? Well, when you go to combat, it's nothing like that. When you shoot somebody, it's a real person. You remember that. You know it's not a good feeling knowing that you've killed somebody. If they were coming to kill you or not, it doesn't matter. That's a human life you took, and it sits on you for the rest of your life.
Few former soldiers or family members dare to speak out so boldly against American policy. Some feel they would betray their brothers and sisters in arms. Others fear repercussions from the military. Peace activist Cindy Sheehan is calling on mothers, veterans, and people who believe in peace to join her this month on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Camp Casey and other groups will be holding many panel forums and meetings to discuss alternatives to war and violence. We'll have a full report in October. More after this.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. In the councils of government, we must guard against the military-industrial complex.
The United States is the greatest force for good in the world. We have not an obligation to go out and start wars, but certainly to spread democracy and freedom throughout the world.
The defense budget is $750 billion. Profits went up last year well over 25%. When war becomes that profitable, you're going to see more of it.
There is a huge flow of cash into defense industry.
$66 billion for our men and women in uniform.
$100 million to upgrade 10 additional B-1 bombers.
You do have to follow the money.
It's the representative's duty to bring home the bacon.
God bless our contractors.
Now, kids are dying. Billions are being spent every month.
And the American people are scratching their heads going, how did we get here?
This is not about one president or one party.
When does the United States go from a force for good to a force of imperialism?
We've got an empire. There is no excuse for 725 American military bases in 130 foreign countries.
I think numbers almost are distracting.
9/11 showed us war can be privatized. Destruction can be privatized.
What we are risking is the Republic itself.
Collusion is our business. Collusion with the military.
We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
In the new militaristic America, when bombs and bullets fail to force democratic change on foreign nations, armchair soldiers of the right often blame the failure on insufficient force.
And generations of people who are just furious.
So you're furious because we're sending targeted weapons, the smart weapons that can explicitly...
Have you seen the pictures, Paul?
Look, it's a very difficult situation, but the smart weapons actually do less damage. We ought to speed more weapons over there because it'll do less damage to civilians.
I think the weapons they're speeding over there are those bunker busters. They're intended to do more damage.
Thank God for the bunker busters because it means you're going to get the people 100 feet down.
There aren't a lot of innocent Lebanese civilians in bunkers. There's the senior leadership of Hezbollah. And they need to be killed.
This little girl escaped with her life in the eastern Bekaa Valley, the road to Damascus still being targeted. Body count already 200 in Lebanon, most civilians, many children.
The grueling rotation of our limited pool of combat-trained troops also has the Pentagon worried. Here's a slick propaganda piece aimed at convincing soldiers to accept their misery, as well as Donald Rumsfeld's downsizing plan.
Today, the strength and resolve of our family is being tested like never before. In recent years, our nation has frequently asked us to stand ready in harm's way. As we continue to make payments towards the cost of war and the price of peace, stability has become a familiar casualty during the global war on terrorism. To deter emerging threats and defeat terrorism, our increased global presence requires us to restructure the entire army towards a modular and more balanced force.
Why is the military working so hard to boost morale? Because the Army is facing its greatest recruiting shortage since 1979. As a result, they have relaxed their standards. They now target the poorest and most desperate young people, along with the most unstable. Alternet reports that since 2001, the Pentagon has more than doubled the number of moral waivers given to new recruits. Moral waivers, as described by journalist Robin Morgan, permit recruits with criminal records, emotional problems, and weak educational backgrounds to be taught how to use submachine guns and rocket launchers. Last year, the Army recruited about 70,000 new soldiers. 11,000 of them received moral waivers. That's 15% of enlistees. One of the soldiers accused in the gang rape and brutal murder of a 14-year-old girl and her family in Iraq entered the Army thanks to a moral waiver. The murdered girl's name, incidentally, translates into fragrance of flowers. The Southern Poverty Law Center also reports that the Defense Department has smoothed the way for neo-Nazis and skinhead extremists to join the military. They had tightened admission rules in 1996 after Timothy McVeigh claimed that his Army stint helped him prepare for the Oklahoma City bombing. Of course, it's not just these bad apples entering the U.S. military that have made war suddenly sinister. Soldiers are just the final cog in the gears of the U.S. war machine. A weapon's trajectory really begins on the assembly line.
Today's Army, with all the sophisticated weapons and equipment that we have, if it's not for the civilian ammo specialists out there in the civilian world researching, developing, and supplying the Army with this ammunition, all this sophisticated weaponry that we have would be all for naught.
Why do good people continue to support the bloody business of preemptive war? Because they have been misled to believe that our military is primarily a defensive force.
What motivates me to come to work is the product that we make at Lake City to protect our country.
I'm making it for my son, your children, so they can have a good product.
The impact proved effective in neutralizing buildings.
Taking turrets off a T-72, you wouldn't really expect that coming from a 25-millimeter gun.
The heat, the heat was my favorite round because I was amazed by the way it works.
Here's a promotional video from Raytheon Corporation, a company that makes Tomahawk and Patriot missiles.
When you think about it, you know, what we do here is so unique, so different, and so critical.
In a nutshell, it really is the fact that our products and our technology save lives.
Serial numbers found on a missile fragment in Iraq prove that it was a Raytheon missile built in Texas that fell on a crowded market in Baghdad in April of 2003, killing 62 civilians. Imagine any other product manufactured in the U.S. with a similar safety record. But the very idea of a precision bomb, like so much of the jargon of modern warfare, is a myth. A 2,000-pound JDAM bomb system releases a crushing shockwave and showers jagged, white-hot metal fragments at supersonic speed. Hardly anyone survives within 120 meters. No one within 365 meters can expect to remain unharmed. These deadly munitions are produced by Boeing, the airplane manufacturer.
But they're all part of a bigger picture. That's why Boeing is helping create a remarkable network to gather and analyze data from every source, then deliver the right information instantly.
Many of the companies included in the Fortune 500 are in the killing business. United Technologies, for example, famous for Otis elevators and Carrier air conditioners, also has a Sikorsky division that makes deadly military helicopters and missile systems. You may wonder why we rarely hear a critical word about American militarization on television or in the newspaper. Thanks to consolidation, many media firms now have a vested interest in perpetual war. General Electric, for example, the owner of NBC and MSNBC, also makes engines for military aircraft.
The president will be hammering again on Wednesday on a theme he hit last Wednesday, that this is a time for victory, that the United States forces and the Iraqi people are headed in a positive direction, and now is not the time to cut and run. Alex?
How many Iraqi citizens have died in this war? I would say 30,000, more or less, have died as a result of the initial incursion and the ongoing violence against Iraqis.
We'll be right back.
Al Jazeera has been inviting the U.S. government officials to speak directly on their channel.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
We have their points of view balanced by our own.
We're dealing with people that are perfectly willing to lie to the world to attempt to further their case.
They've got the best food.
They're also the nicest guys.
You know, we're from top dinner or whatever.
Oh, I would love to.
What Al Jazeera is struggling with is when there isn't a sort of a long tradition of being independent in any one of these kingdoms, how do you establish that now?
Journalists tend to stick together, just like soldiers stick together.
Can't give you any better answer than that. Good try, though.
Incredible.
If I'm offered a job with Fox, I will take it.
You lose the war.
These are the Shia who are receiving the Americans with flowers.
You've got Al Jazeera pounding the people in the region with things that are not true.
Just like Fox plays to American patriotism, it benefits Al Jazeera to play to Arab nationalism.
Misunderstanding is running across the board. It's so complex.
Your journalists have a position on the war.
Are any U.S. journalists objective about this war? This is a war and people are dying.
We got the pictures and we show them.
The decision by Al Jazeera to broadcast such material is deplorable.
It was a show. It was a media show.
Wasn't that
Thank
powerful?
You,
you just
Thank
think
you.
All the folks that died to make those moments happen.
My name is Philip Robertson. I'm a freelance writer. All told, I've spent about a year in Iraq since the beginning of the invasion. War is a deeply unnecessary thing. And we've decided as a country to go to war for a list of reasons which seem to be running through our fingers like sand. We are collectively responsible for those deaths. We cannot escape the truth of those lost lives, both Iraqi and American.
Both of the major political parties provide regular cover for the American war machine. For example, hawkish New York Senator Hillary Clinton often accepts perks offered by weapon maker Lockheed Martin.
The Joint Air-to-Surface Standoff Missile, JASSM, is an autonomous, long-range, conventional, air-to-ground precision standoff missile designed to destroy high-value, well-defended, fixed and relocatable targets.
Her husband, President Bill Clinton, left behind his own chilling nuclear legacy.
During the Clinton era, he supported research and development into the whole five-layered Star Wars system, into the weaponization of space. He didn't get rid of the weapons when he could have with Yeltsin. That's why they're all on Hair Trigger Alert 2500 on the Russian side. With such a redundancy of weapons that there are 40 hydrogen bombs targeted on New York alone.
Remember the Manhattan Project, when the nation's best minds created the atomic bomb? Even leftists were swept up in the mythology that weapons, once created, would be used defensively.
Well, in fact, I not only wouldn't have cleared Robert, I obviously wouldn't have cleared three-quarters of the people on the at the place, so...
Why not? Hmm?
Well, I mean, they were all moderately liberal, moderately left-wing people.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that one way or another.
Of course, the so-called neocons in Washington today have exceeded the ambitions of even their most hawkish predecessors.
And that democratic institutions are the best hope for mankind, and we are very much in favor of defending our values and our civilization, and we are not unwilling to use American power when we are threatened.
Are they simply less secretive about an imperial agenda that the U.S. has pursued for decades?
The U.S. Empire. 70 interventions after 1945, killing between 12 and 16 million. It's not so easy to get the numbers correct, because there is the Pentagon killing in overt action and the CIA killing in covert action. The latter has been estimated at 6 million. Now, the Vietnam War was 3 million. We are not saying that the U.S. did all the killing, but they certainly have a major burden of the responsibility. Now, this cannot go on. We cannot. It's a killer country. We cannot continue that. The U.S. empire has to go. And I think the major benefactor of that will be the U.S. Republic. So my slogan is, since I love that country, long live the U.S. Republic, down with the U.S. empire.
Demilitarizing doesn't have to hurt local economies. A study by the Congressional Budget Office found that every $10 billion spent on military weaponry generates 40,000 fewer jobs than $10 billion spent on civilian programs. In other words, the business of peace is more profitable than the business of death.
Why can't we begin to convert from building weapons to building rail systems? Because pretty soon we're not going to be able to afford to drive our cars. So why can't we use our tax dollars to build a mass transit system in this country that would rival any in the world? Think of the jobs created building rail cars, laying down rail lines. Why can't we build windmills? Because right now the United States is starting to put windmills into the country, but we're importing them from places like Denmark and other countries as well. Why can't we build solar? Japan's now the largest producer of solar products in the entire world. Why can't we, at our weapons contracting facilities, instead of building weapons for endless war, why can't we build solar, rail, and public transportation?
If you'd like to find out whether your employer makes weapons or weapon support systems, visit the links on our website at libertynewstv.com. Coming up next, we ask Robert Shetterly, artist and author of Americans Who Tell the Truth, to write a short political allegory for us. Here's the final product.
I want nothing from you, only that you listen. No one else will. I pray the future to forgive me. I am the weak link in evolution. I am the ancestor who did not care. I am the one who believed in my own reality. How does one become sane in an insane culture? I see visions. Tongues of dark flame wiggle up out of these graves. Tongues that want to speak through me. Look at me. Look at me. A bent woman, a barren woman in a muddy shroud? Yet they tell me I am regeneration. I am reclamation. Who tells me? I can't see their faces. Let's try to start somewhere. Find something solid. There's only one exit from the kingdom of hypocrisy. You can't hide things from your mother. It's simple. I used to say to my little one, "Dearest, you messed up." Then I'd stick his face right in it. He'd get it. A dog would get it. A freaking gerbil would. Not these folks today. Not this bunch. They dig deep. You think I'm a derelict ship slipped beneath the horizon, a loose cannon rolling off the deck. But our culture is a conspiracy theory, and the only way out is to get the wind at our backs and sail off the edge. We bury the truth and keep the lies panting on the artificial reality machine, plug the dishonest ghosts into dialysis, puff up the mumbo-jumbo kings with our sacred breath. Oh, great mumbo-jumbos, we say, keep me safe. Conformity, corruption, consumerism so deep I'm drowning in my own complicity. Look here. Look here. Cause of death? Unknown. Gone before its time. Can civilization exist without it? The great bloody mumbo-jumbo say it can. Why would they lie? Now we all shove our way through the eye of the needle, elbows at the ready. To the sneaky go the spoils. Blood and bodies everywhere, that's fine, we the sheeple say. We've got the lotto. We get our chances. Throw away justice for one chance in a billion to live like robber barons. See, you know what yanks my chain? They don't bury the things that attract flies. I see meaningless bones everywhere. Sad, exhausted bones strewn like lottery tickets everywhere. Look for something that matters and you're stammering in the dark. I know you're in there!
Put it where the sun don't shine and the oxygen won't reach. Take the stuff that creates the vital spark in 300 million hearts and tag it, bag it, and bury it deep.
It sucks the oxygen right out of my brain, the blood right out of my heart. I can feel my corpuscles dry up and blow away like little maple leaves. I see the mumbo-jumbo medics scurrying over. They give me a transfusion of fear.
I've got to connect, find some people like me. Got to be others who come down here to put flowers on the graves. Some who aren't afraid of the mumbo-jumbo-dumbos.
I feel so tiny. I'm an ant. All the giants are underground. I curse myself. I curse the crumbs that I count as blessings. I curse the fat white hand that drops the crumbs. I read somewhere that I am both the question and the answer. What a joke. But if I'm not the answer, who is?
I want my shovel. Give me my shovel. Give this ant her shovel.
Liberty News TV depends on the support of viewers like you, not corporations. Visit our website at libertynewstv.com and let us know you care.
Судьба нелегкая.